Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Gladwell, Arkansas.
How many of you have ever seen the movie Patton? Anybody? Okay. I know there's a scene in the movie Patton whenever he was this was a general during World War II. And he was in charge of some of the American forces over there, especially the tank corps. And the first battle he fought over there was in North Africa against the forces that Rommel had. And he was in charge of a tank. I can't remember what they called it, but like some, he's in charge of a bunch of tanks. I put that away. And Rommel had a bunch too, and they were fixing to have a battle. And in the battle, Patton is watching the battle as it goes on. And the Americans are being victorious over the Germans. And at one point during that, Patton makes a comment something to the effect that said, "I knew what you were going to do." He knew his moves, and because of that, Patton was able to take, because he knew, Patton said that he had read Rommel's book, so he knew what he was going to do. And because Patton knew Rommel's tactics, he was able to effectively take and combat the forces of Rommel that Rommel commanded. There's another thing I'd like to quote real quick too, and I don't know if you've ever heard of the book The Art of War. It's by Sun Tzu. I guess that's how you say his name. But anyhow, he says, "If you know your enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle." And that to me stresses the importance that we know ourselves, but we also know who we are in Christ, but we also need to know our enemy also. And my title of my message tonight is The Strategies and Tactics of the Enemy. And I've got several verses here. In Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And Mark 13 and 34, it says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." Now, about a month and a half ago, I preached a message here that concerning the authority of the believer and some of these scriptures I used. And in the message, I made the statement that I believe that the church and believers had, by and large, had failed God because we haven't used the authority that God has delegated to us. And I also believe that in many cases that we have suffered defeats from the enemy because we haven't used that power and authority that God's delegated to us. I used the parable about the talents, how that one servant was given 5 talents, one was given 2 talents, and one was given 1. And how the two servants that had been given the 5 talents and the 2 talents had invested that and had gained more other talents besides the one that they had been given. And as a result, they received a reward. But the one servant that received the 1 talent was afraid, so he took and hid that talent. And whenever his master came and took accounting of it, that's all he had to give back to his master. And as a result, he wound up being cast into outer darkness. But I also mentioned that the talents itself could represent, I know a lot of times talents in the scripture here is talking about a weight of silver, but a talent could represent anything of value. I also referenced Luke chapter 10, verses 19 through 20, which says, and Jesus is speaking, and he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwith, Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that because your names are written in heaven. And I want to stress here, Jesus was saying, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And that the spirits are subject unto us. Now, the expectation of the Lord is that we use the power and authority that God has given us. Otherwise, why would he give it to us to begin with? I mean, he's not just giving it to us to be some kind of a status symbol or something. He gave it to us as a tool to use against the enemy. So why don't we use the power God has delegated to us? Or if we attempt to use that power, it either doesn't work or it is not effective. And there's a number of reasons, I believe, and primarily because of the actions of and or our falling for the schemes of the devil. Some of those reasons, though not necessarily in order, are one is ignorance. And I know we may have a good, solid understanding and knowledge of the scriptures, but knowledge, ignorance, I believe here that we are failing in is that we have ignorance of a practical use or a practical knowledge of the devil's schemes. You know, how do we put it to work in our everyday lives? I mean, we can have all kinds of head knowledge, but if we don't know how to use it, we don't have the wisdom to take and be able to use that knowledge and put it to work, then it really doesn't do us much good. I remember when I was working, we had some mechanics come in that used to work on our forklifts. And one mechanic one time was telling me about one of the other mechanics. He said, the man, I think he had a college degree. He said he was very smart. But he said when it came to working on the forklifts, you know, knowing how to put that knowledge to use, he said he couldn't do it. You know, he's very poor at it. So we need to take him, come up, you know, gain that knowledge and how to use it. Now, in Hosea 4 and 6, the first part of that scripture says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, in looking at Strong's, the Hebrew word that is translated into destroyed is the word dalma. And it means to be dumb or silent, or hence to fail or perish, transitively to destroy. And it also means to be brought to silence. Because we lack knowledge, we remain silent oftentimes. I know a lot of times if I don't know what to say, or if I find myself in a situation, I don't want to speak up because I don't know what to say. I don't know how to handle the situation, so you tend to remain silent. We don't know what to speak. We don't know to speak or what to speak when we come across a situation, especially that's demonic in nature. And part of the problem, too, is that we don't recognize that when we do see it a lot of times. Now, about a year or so ago, I preached at another church, at the church there in Paragould, and there was a young lady who was very stressed about her job. There was a person that she worked with that demanded to be called by the other gender, and from what they actually were. And she felt it was wrong, and she couldn't call them that because of her faith. But she was being pressured by her boss, even threatened with termination if she didn't take and comply with that other person's demands. When we prayed for her, I felt led to ask if she was filled with the Holy Ghost, which I felt like she was, and she admitted that she had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I felt like the Lord was telling me to tell her that God has given her power for her to use it. Now, this demonstration is a common problem that we all have, and it's a lack of knowledge. There are areas in which we are ignorant because we haven't been taught. Now, if Satan can hide that knowledge, he can continue to control us. He can continue to cause us to wander into darkness in these areas, making us ineffective against him. He can continue to do his evil work unhindered. And in the above situation, what I was attempting to do was to encourage her to speak to the atmosphere where she worked and to take authority over the spirits there and cast them out. Another issue is that we often don't recognize the source of the problem. We are ignorant of the root of the issue. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, most of our ignorance is primarily due to a lack of teaching. I have found very few mentors, especially mentors that have really experience in this area, you know, and in also in being submitted to the Lord in this area. I mean, I've been in situations where the devil, there were demons there, but I didn't know how to handle it and didn't recognize it when I saw it. So I struggled with it. And I said, much of what I've learned through struggling in situations. And sometimes I know I was in a situation one time where, and I think I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, but there was a situation I was in where there was a woman that, our relationship, where there was a woman that was very controlling. And I felt like that I felt this oppressive spirit over me, you know, the whole time I was in the relationship and struggled with that. I knew there was an issue there, and, you know, I didn't know what to do about it, didn't know what the source was. I knew the person, but I didn't know what the actual source was and what to do about it. I was talking to the pastor of the church I was going to, his son-in-law, one time about my situation. He suggested that there's two spirits it sounded like there. So I went to when I got back to my house, I was there by myself, and I stood in the dining room in the house, and I called those two demons by name, and I commanded them out of my house. I rebuked them and commanded them out of my house. And then I forgot about it. Now, a day or two later, I got to noticing I didn't feel that oppressive spirit on me like I had been. And it got to bugging me because I'd forgotten what I had done. And several days later, about middle of the week, it dawned on me what I had done. And I believe that when I spoke to those demons, even though I didn't see any manifestation at that point in time, I believe that what I said, because I spoke to those demons and commanded them out, that they had to go. Now, the problem seems to be that most of us don't know what to do or what's going on. Are we too many times we attempt to tackle the problem in the physical realm, not the spiritual realm where the real problem is. Now, in 2 Peter 3:3, it says, knowing this first, and in some cases, I don't think we really want to know. But it says, knowing this first, in 2 Peter 3:3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now some may not want to, there's also some people, we may not want to offend someone. Too many times I think that the people in the church consider it the pastor or the church leader's responsibility to take and tackle these demons. They come to the church and they request prayer over the situation and all that, when they themselves, if they would take and recognize the problem and speak to the problem, could have an effect, you know, and actually cast demons out themselves. Now, their answer may be just to pray over the situation and expect God to answer the prayer, when God has given them the authority and God expects them to take a move and to take and use that authority. They won't step out beyond what they know, and by not stepping out, they're not trusting that God has their back, even if they do step out. That was the first thing that I had down here. The second thing is deceit. Now, the devil will deceive us every chance he gets. And related to ignorance is deceit. If we don't know what the real problem is, we can't effectively fight it. You know, if we don't know our enemy, then we don't know how to fight him, how to resist him. Now, Satan will twist the word because of us to cause us to doubt God and to doubt that God will protect us. He will distort the facts so as to create confusion. Who do you attack if you are confused as to who the enemy is or where he is? You know, we may be thinking the enemy's in one person and he's in, you know, using someone else. And Satan will throw up anything he can in order to distort the truth of God's word in order to create doubt. He will use partial truths and quote portions of God's word to hide its real intent. Satan used that strategy in the Garden of Eden against Eve when he said, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He only quoted part of what God said. When Eve told him that they could eat all except the tree in the midst of the garden, Satan then spoke contrary to the word, tricking Eve into eating of the forbidden fruit. Now, I had a former pastor, used to be a pastor over at Glad Tidings, well, what used to be Glad Tidings on the other side of town, Odell Nestler. He once preached saying that that a way to hide the true altar of God was to place a lot of other false altars all around that true altar, you know, to hide it, to disguise it, you know, to make it difficult for someone to find out where the truth is. He said, doing so makes trying to find the truth like finding a needle in a haystack. And many are deceived into believing a false altar to be the true altar. There's so much false teaching and false preaching that when we come across the truth, we don't recognize it. False seeds or tares are planted into our minds and spirits, either on purpose or because of ignorance, to deceive us. Having a desire to have more of God may open us up to deceit. You know, I know it's a good thing for us to take a desire more of God and to, you know, to have a closer walk with Him. But if we're not careful, we may wind up being led into to be deceived into believing something, or maybe that's not true about the Word. And in doing that, Satan may wind up using some of the Word to take and twist us because of our desire to know more of the Lord, so that he's able to get an inroad into our spirit. To keep from being deceived, we must pray, asking God to teach us, seeking absolute truth from the only source of absolute truth, and that's God. John 16:13, it says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now, the next thing I've got down here is fear. Number three is fear. Now, Satan will use fear to separate us from the power God has given us that can deliver us. If we won't act because of what others think, who do we fear most, God or man? Luke 12:5 says, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So who do we fear most? Do we fear man or do we fear God? Do we fear, you know, if we fear God most, then we'll take and trust him and we will walk and do as he says. Now, maybe we're afraid to act because we're afraid of trying something new. Maybe we're afraid that we will fail. Now, intimidation, and I want to, there's so much more I could have said in here, and I feel like I'm trying to, I've compressed a lot of this, but intimidation is one way that to create fear in people. And it can cause fear, and it can also cause us to fear confrontation with someone else. Now, when Goliath and the Philistines intimidated the armies of Israel, David wasn't intimidated. Even though he was younger and smaller than his brothers, instead of being fearful, he became angry. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David didn't fear. He got angry, and he conquered the giant. When the devil attacks, we need to get angry and cast him out. Mark 3:27, it says, "No man can come into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man and he will spoil his house." Now, there's one other area that we may fear, and that's having the devil jump onto us. Now, I've heard several times, I know there's been several times that they've were casting out demons at the church that I'm attending now, but there's times I've heard people say, you know, "Don't touch that person because that demon will take and jump on you." Well, the thing is, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and the Holy Spirit of God is the strong man in your house, how's the devil going to take and be able to overtake you? The only way he could would be as if you were to let him. Now, the Holy Spirit is much stronger than Satan, so he would have to overcome the strong man in my house to be able to defeat me and to conquer me. 1 Timothy 1:6 says, or 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Note that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me in his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Number four, I got distraction. In the Marine Corps, we had 11 general orders that we had to memorize. And one was to walk my post in a military manner, keeping always on the alert and observing everything that takes place within sight or hearing. What this means is that we couldn't be distracted from our duties. We had to keep alert. If we were distracted and not alert, the enemy could slip past our post and create havoc. And Satan uses many distractions to prevent us from using the power God has given us, and if possible, to attack our spirit and to kill us spiritually. And some of the ways are addiction to entertainment, like the TV, video games, social media, watching sports, you know, many other things that can take and distract us. Also, the enemy can attack us from multiple directions. He will keep you from attacking you in so many ways that all you have time to do is to take and react to the attacks that he has placed upon you. You have so many times, so many attacks, so many problems that you don't have time to realize what's really going on and to attack him. He will create problems not related to the current attack on multiple fronts to use up your energy on things that aren't critical. And he will use others also to accomplish this. Being attacked on multiple fronts can potentially overwhelm us. We can feel overwhelmed, and well, we don't know what to do. But we don't do anything because we are so overwhelmed. Something else I've had, he can distract us because of people making false accusations against us. And I've had many times where I've been accused of things that I didn't do, and especially other people that I had worked with. But it's not, I mean, you can have that with anybody, neighbors, even family members that can do this. But this can keep you so busy defending yourself that you can't go on the offensive. This can keep us on the defensive so we aren't effective against the enemy. Now, if we're guilty of the things we're accused of, then those things can potentially destroy us. Another thing, number five, is to destroy our witness. This, to me, is also closely associated with this distraction. Accusations are attacks on a person's character, and if successful, it can destroy their witness. There's a lot of people who take, and you can be accused of something, and there's a lot of people who take and believe those accusations against you and use it against you. And there's many pastors whose ministries have been destroyed for one reason or other, or at least crippled or hindered. I remember Jimmy Swaggart, some of the issues there, or Jim Baker, and I've heard recently, was it Joel Osteen, are some examples. Satan will try to make those who love or who have been strong, who have strong ministries and are using the power God has given them, to make them appear weak, without power, and to appear deceived about reality, and as if they were fools. He will try to make what can be physically touched and felt the only reality to drive many people away. He will attack our beliefs to say that there are many ways to God, and he will twist the gospel to say that God is love and that God wouldn't send anyone to hell. He will do anything to create doubt in ministers, exploiting any weakness to destroy them. And doubt is the enemy of faith. Number six is seduction. Satan will exploit any weakness in you to seduce you into sin. I know Lisa Bevere, John Bevere's wife, tells of a boy who was once in their youth group. He said this boy was smoking, what they call them, shrooms. I think it's a, well, I'm not sure exactly what it does, but it is a drug. And he said this, and the boy was said that since the Bible didn't say anything about smoking shrooms, that it was okay. Now, they were trying to get him delivered, and they were having a lot of difficulty in getting him delivered. And she said at one point, a demon told him that he had a legal right to stay on the boy as he was, quote, eating from his table, unquote. And a Christian has no business eating from God's table and the devil's. A brief exposure also can take an expose or open a door through the flesh. I had an experience some years ago, probably 10 or 15 years ago, where I worked. Another man and I were traveling on business for the company, going around to a couple of the plants that the company had. And when we got to this one, arrived at this one town where this one plant was at, we went to the hotel and got checked in, and we each went to our room, and we were going to meet just shortly after that to take and go eat together. When I got to the room, one of the first things I did was turn the TV on. But when I turned that TV on, to my surprise, there was this XXX rated movie that was on. And I'm trying to find the remote to take and change the channel, which it wouldn't change. And I had to turn it off just to get it off the screen. And it turned out that someone in the next room was watching that video. And it was bleeding over into the TV in my room. And that brief exposure had burned an image in my mind and my spirit that I had a difficult time trying to get rid of. I mean, the devil could cast terrors that way, and it can stick onto you, and you have to fight that to take and get rid of it. Sex seems to be the most effective means of seduction, but seduction can take many forms. Power, money, and fame are other forms that people may be drawn into. Power was one of the things that Satan used to seduce Jesus after Jesus' 40-day fast. In Matthew 4:8, he says, again, the devil taketh him up unto the exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan was offering Jesus power over all the kingdoms of the earth. If only he would bow down to him and worship him. But Jesus didn't fall for it. He fought him with the word, and he conquered him. Number 7 I've got down is to conquer. If Satan can't seduce us into sin, he will bring up situations where we will get offended. I was in a relationship, well, I mentioned this relationship with the woman that, let me just go over this again. I was in a relationship where a woman was trying to dominate me, especially spiritually. The Lord delivered me from that relationship, but the woman still tried to destroy me spiritually. And I had a very difficult time with this. Anytime anything was said about that situation, I would get into this foul mood, and I couldn't help it. And the Lord spoke to me one day on the interstate out here, on the way home. He told me that I had to forgive her. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know your word says I have to forgive, but I told the Lord, I said, but she's still trying to take and destroy me spiritually. The Lord told me, he said, it doesn't matter. He said that if you don't forgive her, a spirit of bitterness will set itself up inside of you so deep I can't get it out. He said, I didn't have to trust her, but I did have to forgive her. So we have a spirit of offense can bring in spirits of bitterness and even other spirits. And if the bitterness had gotten set up inside of me, more than likely there would be other spirits that come along with it too. Hatred and even murder, which could actually be an actual murder or murder through using a tongue. Now, how to overcome this? One, Now, first thing I've got here is to take assessment of your spiritual condition and your relationship with God. Am I eating from Satan's table or from the enemy's table? Do I have any occult devices such as tarot cards, Ouija boards, horoscopes, anything else that's occultic? If I do, what I need to do is take and destroy them and see about getting delivered from any spirits that are associated with them. Do I have any addictions such as drugs or alcohol or anything? Do I have hidden sin in my life? If I do, then Satan has a legal right to me. Now, and the last thing I've got on this one portion here is to repent. Be sorry for and to turn away from any sin that's in your life. Number two, be aware that Satan is afraid of you in relationship with God. He's afraid that you will learn about the power God has delegated to you and to cast him out. He knows that if you are in a right relationship with the Lord, that the Lord will and has given you power over him. Number three, recognize who the enemy is. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy is not the person through which the offense comes. That person is just a pawn of the enemy who needs deliverance. And the enemies are the evil spirits that are trying to destroy us. And that's where we need to focus our attacks. Number four, put on the whole armor of God. And that's you'll find that in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And in doing that, take authority over and use the power that God has delegated to you over your circumstances and over the enemy in these circumstances. Number five, pray, seeking God's guidance and wisdom. If you think, you know, in the Marines, you know, I took some class or two on strategy and tactics, and one of the things we had to attack was command, you know, that was suggested in fighting an enemy was not to fight, try not to fight the pawns or just the frontline soldiers, but to take it. If you can take an attack, command and control, then you're much more effective. And in our case, if we seek God's guidance and wisdom, then we can attack the enemy, which is command and control. Number six, speak boldly against the enemy. Stop being passive. Stop tolerating sin in and around you. And follow the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be aggressive against the enemy. Take the battle to him instead of waiting for him to take and bring the battle to you. And examples here, I've got David and Goliath. I mentioned that a little bit ago. The three Hebrew children, you could think, well, they weren't really fighting a battle. Well, in a way, they were. They told the king that they would refuse to take and bow down to the image that the king had demanded everyone bow down to. And in that, they were fighting a spiritual battle. Take preventative steps. Pray over and also command evil spirits off of you and your home. Around you and your home, your property. Pray, cast these evil spirits and pray over your family and over your church and over your job. I don't know if anybody here has done this, but I've gone around our property, my wife's and my property. I took a bottle of olive oil around the boundary of our property and sprinkled it. And as I walked around the property, I took and prayed over it, and I commanded any evil spirits there to take and leave. I've done that in my home before, and anointing the doors and the windows of the house and commanding the demon spirits out. And I actually, one time when our youngest son was still a baby, we were having problems trying to get him to sleep at night. And he told me one time that there was something in the closet in his room. And I would check that, and there was nothing there. Well, this one night, after everyone had gone to bed and had gone to sleep, I quietly got up and got a bottle of olive oil, went around in the house, and I anointed every door to the outside, every window, and I prayed over it, and I commanded demons to leave. When I got to his room, I also did that with the closet. When I got done, I quietly put the bottle of olive oil back up, quietly went to bed, and went to sleep, and I didn't tell anybody anything about that. The next night, whenever we went to put our son to bed, no problems. We didn't have any more problems like that. I am convinced that there was a demon spirit there that was causing a problem there. Number seven. Never forget. Never forget that you are a servant of God and that the power that you have been given is power that God has delegated to you. It's not your power, it's God's power. And don't get cocky or let it go to your head. Be submissive to Christ. And remember that sometimes even Jesus couldn't perform great miracles because of people's unbelief. Then sit back and observe the results and thank God. God is good, Pastor.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.